God started dealing with me about when I was in my mother's womb. Now, I knew some things, and then after this happened, I had talked to my dad, and he said, yeah, that's true. God took me all the way back into my mother's womb when I was just a few weeks conceived. So that would be in 1940. I was born in 41. That kind of escaped the truth how old I am. But she conceived in 1940, and I was born in June of 1941. But there was rumors of war and everything, things happening over in Europe. My mom and dad wasn't married when my mother conceived me. And they asked, and they were going to get an abortion. They were too young. My mother was 15, and of course when she had me out, she was 16. She was 15 when she got pregnant. My dad was just 16. That's pretty young. And war about ready to break out. My dad was apprentice as a sheet metal man, and he, of course, you know, he couldn't afford to get married or anything like that. And so they talked about aborting me. God said, He said, Ed Dufresne, I knew you, and I ordained you, and I sanctified you in your mother's womb to be a minister of the gospel. And I saw this. And later on, I asked my dad. He said, yeah, that's true. He said, I'm sorry. I said, well, we were going to abort. And I saw what happened. I saw angels come down in heaven and stop that. Oh, yeah. My mother was just ready to go. And stop that. Angels came and stopped that. And because God commanded that I was ordained of God. And they got married. Hallelujah. They turned around and they got married. Well, then they didn't, you know, of course, didn't. I'm here. They didn't abort me. You know, either I'd have been here or up there. I mean, I'd still be a human being. Are you listening to me? When you get to heaven, you're going to see all those aborted children. They're there.
Oh, yes, sir.
Amen. And you know something? I saw this one time. I'm like a little sidetrack here. One time I saw in a vision when God was dealing with me about an unwed mother's home. I saw all these women that aborted their children. They thought they got rid of them. And especially the ones that got saved. Or there's even Christians that do it. It's really surprising. It's absolutely surprising. Some, of course, you know, guilt and everything, they can be set free of that. But as they were walking through the gates, there would be their little children say, Mommy, I love you. You know, the mercy and the love of God. You know, you can take a child and beat a child up and they'll still stick up for their parents. You take a little child and misuse and beat up a child and take them to court and say, your mom and daddy didn't. No, my mom and daddy didn't do that. You know, child, that's why we ought to be like a child. They're very forgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands up and praise Him. Glory. I tell you, the mercy of God and the love of God. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we praise You. Put your hands up and praise Him for His mercy and love. And then I was born, and God just showed me my whole life, my whole thing up until that time. Told me things. He told me why this happened. He told me why my first wife left me. He told me the whole thing all the way through. He just went all the way through. Showed me everything. And I said, Lord, I never knew why my mom and dad would, because when my mother, they both came out of both sides, my mother's side, there was a lot of people that were in mental institutions, and on my dad's side too. Because when my grandfather found out that my mother was pregnant, he went out and committed suicide. Left a note to my mother and told her that's the reason why he committed suicide, because he couldn't handle that he was degraded, and went on and on. But then, of course, my mother had to live with that guilt the rest of her life. That's what drove her into mental institutions. But why? I said, now how many times I almost got killed? How many times? My mom and dad, you know, they were malt eat drinkers. They said they weren't going to be alcoholics. Then after my brother was born, and they started having little cocktails here and there, little wine, you know, with their drinks, and then they turned into be alcoholics. You see, all that was geared is to destroy that anointing that came out of my mother's womb. You see, you know, the devil hates anointed men and women of God. Well, he hates Christians, period. That's why you should never pray for the office of a prophet. you just don't know the... And the same story with Brother Hagin. You look through there, you see the thing. You see things that happen, how the devil tried to destroy him. They put him in a little shoebox and put him in a shoebox and was going to bury him in the backyard. And the person was going to bury him, felt a little movement, came in, put a little dress on him. Washed him up, put a little dress, said, well, he won't live, he'll be dead. Well, he's still alive. 70 years old. Are you getting anything out of this? You see? Yeah, I just appreciate God so much for taking me back all the way back there and through the whole life. Why that's happened, why that happened. And that's why she did this, and that's why this person did that, and this is why that happened. It was all geared to destroy the anointing. Huh? Don't get mad because you hear a minister that has fallen. You don't realize. Never do that. Just keep your mouth shut and pray for him. Your record ain't too hot either. It's just you never got caught. Yours never was exposed. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for the blood of Jesus that washes us from all our sins and all our unrighteousness. Can you say amen? Amen. And so a prophet is called from his mother's womb. And let's just put our hands up and praise him a little bit. Let's just praise him. Just praise him for a little bit. I see what direction God wants me to go here. How many of you sense that anointing that's in here? Yes, glory to God. Now listen to this. In Isaiah 49 says, listen, O, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord had called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother had he made mention of my name. Wow. Hiti basaka. And he had made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand had he hid me and made me polished shaft. Oh my. And then he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Now, I said, Lord, when the Lord started dealing with me about the ministry, I said, Lord, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I couldn't even get up in junior high. I couldn't get up in high school. Well, I never did finish high school, so didn't get up much in high school. Had problems, you know. My home was full of alcoholism. Couldn't study. You just, you know, under that circumstances. But I, even junior high or grammar school, I could never get up and give a talk on history or anything. I just didn't have it. Let me know what I'm talking about. I mean, there was just no public, what you call, well, let me put it this way, natural ability to be a public speaker. Amen. And be truthful with you, if the anointing does not hit me when I get up to speak, I'm in trouble and you're in trouble. Because I ain't got nothing to say. People ask me in big auditoriums, get up, you got something to say? Come on, say it. Say, what is it? Well, anointing don't come on. A lot of people get up, and just charismatic and everything else, and yell and shout and give good testimony. And that's fine. I'm not putting that down. I'm just telling you about me. But God said that he put the words in my mouth. Now, there's all different types of anointings on prophets. There's the mantle of a prophet, but then there's different commissions for a prophet to do. And I think I'll close with this. I want to read just a little bit what's coming up. The danger of intruding and assuming the office of a prophet or any other office. That's good stuff. But there's something here I wanted to read the different kinds of function in the office of a prophet. There's preaching prophets, teaching prophets, interceding prophets, gift prophets, counseling prophets, singing prophets, poet prophets. Have you ever had Brother Hagin ever get up and start with poems and stuff? They run government prophets, governmental prophets, kingdom prophets, judgment prophets, messenger prophets, family prophets, local church prophets, local prophets. I didn't realize there were so many prophets. Nation prophets to the nations, prophets to certain churches or camps, prophets to the body at large, then there's prophets to the world. Jonah was a prophet to the world. Now, you know, now people say, now I heard one guy say the other day, well, I heard about Brother Hagin saying that he wanted to go home and be with the Lord, or he didn't want to prophesy this, or he didn't want to, I can't understand it. Well, no, because you don't understand a prophet. Look at Jonah. He split. He said, no, I ain't going over there. He took off, man. He took off in the boat, and look where he ended up in.
Yeah,
he ended up in a bunch of barf. That's why a lot of preachers end up in a bunch of barf. That's right, he did. He got barfed up on the beach. A lot of preachers are getting barfed up. They're trying to run away from their anointing. And they're just in barf. I tell you, you'll stink. You'll be in barf and everything if you run from God. You'll never be able to run from God. Once He's called you, until the day you die, you'll be miserable. You'll be miserable driving a truck. You'll be miserable selling shoes. You'll be miserable being a salesman. You'll be miserable at anything until you get in walking that anointing. I know what I'm talking about. That's why, Mishikibi, you see, that's why I can't be just a pastor here and let that be primarily, I've got that, because then I'll be miserable. Yeah. You'll be miserable and I'd be miserable. I'd make you miserable. Because I got to build teams. I got to do what God, that's primarily, are you listening to me? Then all these other things are works extended out of the mantle that is on my life. That issue, that mantle. Now, you can have different offices. Different offices flow out of my ministry. Men of God can function in different offices. But primarily, the ministry that God calls you, if you try to do anything else and you put that aside, no, make it first, then you're in trouble. Because then the issue or the power, that anointing that God put on you. Remember He said, I command you what to say over there? What I anointed you or what I sanctified you, what He sanctified and anointed you to do, that's what you got to do.
Amen.
Whatever it is, that's what you got to do. And you got to get in that groove and flow in it. If you try to do anything else, that's why a lot of churches get out and do a lot of things and try to intrude in another man's office, and that's where they get in trouble. That's where they die prematurely. That's why they have so many heartaches and finances and everything else. Are you listening to it? There's preachers right now that every time they're on TV, they're beating you over the head for finances. For one reason, they're intruding in another man's office because they're going around putting everybody down. This one's wrong, this one's wrong, that one's wrong, this one's wrong, that one's wrong. And then they got their little group around there that puts a bunch of vanity to them. Yeah, you're right, that's right, that's right. Give me my paycheck, that's right, and keep feeding them. You better watch it. Well, you got people around you feeding you all the time a bunch of junk just to build vain in you. Huh? You know, I could have a big church. That's all I do is every Sunday morning just build, you know, just flat hot air everybody. And let Bucket Mouth do this, and let so-and-so do this, and let that one do this, and just let them flow and do what they want. You just have a church undisciplined and everything else, but you can have some people. Are you getting anything out of this? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Put your hands up and praise Him and worship Him. You see. Let me get back to that. You must walk in your office. That's why I keep saying the next 2 years and everybody else's ministry, every one of you, everyone in the body of Christ, it's very crucial what you do in the next 2 years. Very crucial. That you're at the right place at the right time. Huh? It's very important. Very, very, very important. Glory to God. Did you get something out of this? Let's just praise Him a little bit more. Let's just praise Him a little bit more. praise Him a little bit more. Glory be to God. Sunday morning we'll talk about, therefore, brethren, even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. You got to be sure what the will of God is for your life and the calling of God. Of course, we're primarily talking about the prophet's ministry, but you can also take it in every gift is the same. I mean, being sure of your calling, that same. Not every gift is the same per se as anointing. Are you listening to me? So that's why it's very, very, very important for us to obey God. How many learned something tonight by the Spirit of God? I tell you, I haven't even scratched the surface yet. But when God took me back in my life, and I didn't understand why this happened and that happened, and now I do. I didn't understand it back then, but when God showed me. Do you know when you got a calling on your life and you're sanctified by God? That's why I say don't criticize ministers. Do you realize how long the devil's been trying to destroy Jim and Tammy Baker? You don't know how down he was in 1980 when that thing's supposed to happen. You don't know how burdened down he was with money or anything, and then at a weak point, the devil came in and... How can you criticize Brother Hagin when his daddy left him when he was just a little baby and didn't have a daddy and raised by his grandma and all crippled up the way he was and had a bad heart, couldn't run and play like other children? What right do we have to criticize? There's a price that you pay to walk in that anointing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just praise Him. We love you, Father. We love you. We're so hungry for you, Father. We're so hungry for the anointing. I said, God, I can't speak in front of crowds. Let me be a church builder. I build churches. He says, I have anointed your lips and I have put my words. And when I command you to speak, speak. And don't be afraid of their faces. And that don't happen. That's progressing. That don't happen overnight. To get that fear of people out. But I'm almost there. Not quite yet, but I'm almost there. I don't care. I'm just going to flat obey God. And that's only obvious. They build us 10 buildings out here in the middle of a field. And build it without a congregation. I ain't telling you everything. You ought to see what, if you know what he's telling me to do now, you'd really flip out. That's why I ain't going to tell you. Just obey God. Glory be to God. Just obey God. How many were here last Friday night when I was singing that? That's pretty good, huh? Could never sing either. Getting better. Woo! Glory to God. Just obey God. That's what he's saying today. Obey him. Obey him. Whatever he tells you to do. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. We're going to get more stranger around here. To the natural, it's going to be like strange. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Siti Masaka Shatara Masatara Masatara. Put your hands up and praise him. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I see that, Lord. I see it. Glory be to God. I see it. Oh, pray. Pray hard in the Spirit. Glory to God. Oh, we pray that the prophets will come forth. speak the counsel of God. Glory di basata masata posoto masatai. Glory to God, hallelujah. Niti basata masaka shatara basiki di basata basiki di basata. Glory, 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 giddy, masata masiki. Glory, hallelujah. I just saw something. And I'll share it with you. You remember where the Bible says that the hand of God has the heart of the king?
Yeah.
How many remember that in the Bible? I don't know exactly where it is. You know, Tim, you're the scholar. Huh? You just read it yesterday. Proverbs something. Look it up and find it. Proverbs. Read it, brother. Read it.
The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the river of the water, he turneth it whithersoever he will.
He turneth so ever will. Yeah. Now, that scripture comes in, God said, yeah, but he says, I speak through the prophets. So the prophets are going to be saying some things to the kings and to the head of countries and stuff like that by the Spirit. Because he said, before he'll do anything, he'll reveal it to the prophets. He reveal it to the prophets, so the prophets have to obey God in what he said. And it doesn't have to be publicly, just like I said. Matter of fact, a lot of the prophets haven't been saying anything publicly. It's been mostly behind doors. But see, you can deal with things like that. Generals deal with generals. That's right, I go to churches and I go in the Spirit and God had me deal with something. That church make a whole complete turnaround and when they were having nothing but problems and it'll turn around because he dealt with it in the Spirit realm. See, that's how important, that's why God set this mantle in the body of Christ. And it's important. No, we're not exhorting the men. I told you that a prophet of God has to walk in humility. He can't walk in pride. He can't think he's infallible. You can't prophesy out of your own spirit. You can heap up a lot of students just to a lot of people, just prophesy what they want to hear. But see, that ain't a true prophet. A prophet, not that it's negative. A prophet's ministry message is not negative, because it'll shed light, and light will bring revelation, and light will bring deliverance. You see what I'm talking about? Somebody said, well, you know, somebody's in here living in adultery. They said, well, that's negative. No, that's bringing light on something to help you, get you free. My, have you seen just a prime example of prophets' men publicly? Not publicly. That was when Brother Hagin called out those men's names. He said there's, and he started naming off names. Can you remember those names, honey? Horace. And what was the other one? You remember there were several names there, and that was a man's board. Past, huh? Horace, Alf, and Jim, and that was the name of a pastor's board that was here, and they were causing him nothing but trouble. He says, hold on, because he's going to turn that around. Now that brought light. That wasn't negative. That brought light and straightened things out. You telling me? Glory be to God. There's a lot of things that we'll get into. I want to teach to you about the prophet's ministry and how impartation can be. It's been bothering me why there's certain ministries. There's ministries. That's why the school of the prophets is so important, and we don't have any of them. Lest the apostle and the prophet do some impartation for spiritual gifts that they may be established in their calling. There's some that only get so far in their ministry, and that's as far as they go, unless they have that spiritual gift that they may be established in their ministry. And we'll get in. You remember there in Romans, where is it? Romans 1? That they may be established Let's turn over there. There's something there. You're not in a hurry, are you? It's Friday night. You can sleep in the morning, so. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. That you may be established. Now go over to the first verse. I want to read something. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Notice through the Bible you find that he called me into the gospel. You talk about a man being established without a shadow of a doubt what he's called to. Now that didn't happen overnight. There was a progression that we learned. We'll get into that. You want to hear more about it? You're going to have to come back. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Put your hands up and praise Him and thank Him. Glory to God. Now tonight I kind of interweaved in that anointing, just kind of went in and out. But as more we teach on it, we'll get into more of it. And maybe, man, I love to get into that every time, but it's not me to do it. You know, I can't push a button and be in it, you know. It's as the Spirit wills.